Ons gaan weer lekker bos vanoggend hier op Sonopgang Bos. En hierheen sê het ons met trots moontlik gemaakt weer al die man Nelspruit. En ons gesels 'n bietjie oor die wildtuin. En ons gaan gesels oor, is jy die joors wat die plek bemors? En by ons in die atelier is Jenny Robertson van die Edeveldwagters. Jenny, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Herb.
Is jy die joors wat die plek bemors? Do you understand what that says? You're the one that's littering, the littering guy. But I think what we should do is, let's just start by identifying how big the littering problem within the Kruger Park is.
Okay, the littering problem in the park is fairly massive. If you think about back in 1927, there were approximately 3 cars went into the Kruger National Park, and they took their own camp, their own tents, and their own food. Whereas today, the Kruger National Park has 12 camps with tourist accommodation, 8 bush camps, 13 picnic sites, and 15 concession lodges. Each of these generate, you can imagine, a huge amount of litter. Mm. Over and above that, Kruger National Park, they've got about 3,200 employees. Then you've got all your restaurants and your picnic sites with the tuck shops there. Again, litter. And then we've got our daily visitors to the park who are taking litter in. And
would that be the biggest problem? Is visitors, day visitors or visitors?
I think it's a twofold thing. I think the amount of litter people take into the park. Now, Sand Parks has to dispose of all of that litter. And they've got to take it to, they've got 2 recycling places within the park. That's one in the south and one in the north. The north is in Letaba and the south is in Skukuza. They've got to carry all that litter from wherever, whatever camp you're at, recycle it and take it out the park. They can't leave it in the park. Then we've got the problem, people throwing litter out the windows.
That was my next question. Do people still do that? I mean, if you go into the park, surely you must have a love for nature, and why would you actually throw your ice cream paper out of the window?
You would think so, but it is absolutely frightening. We, as honor rangers, we go around and we do litter patrols in the park. And just after open week now, which was 18th to the 22nd of September, you know, we had on average about 6,000 people enter the park a day within all the different gates. And the litter just thrown out the windows. You know, you've got your bus loads, you've got your anybody, people, they eat a packet of chips, they throw it out the window. The biggest problem really is bottles and cans. And you know, imagine the danger it poses to our animals. They walk on the bottles, they cut themselves. The cans store water, get breeding grounds for mosquitoes, whatever. The hyenas, the monkeys, they think whatever's thrown out is food.
It's food.
Yeah.
It's food.
And, yeah, no, it's a major, major problem.
Would you say this will be a lack of education or knowledge? Or
probably a bit of both. We are trying to educate the public. We have 2 programs where we go into the schools and we talk to the children and try and illustrate just how bad it is to litter, both in their communities, in our park, and in their schools. You know, it's really important for us to teach the children, because they are really the custodians, the future custodians of our park and our environment. So that is the one side. And then on the other side, we have people at the gates and we try and educate the public there. We explain to them what's going to happen, you know, how it's affecting our animals, how it's infecting the environment, and give them their paper bags. Ideally, we ask them to put the rubbish in the bag and bring it out the park, because that just helps Sand Parks themselves, that they don't then, because everything that is generated in the park has to be ultimately brought out of the park. Sand Parks doesn't have landfills.
Well, if you just think of the restaurants and the kitchens,
who
actually cook food and prepare food and the leftovers, and that all needs to get disposed of.
Correct. And they put it in polystyrene cups and polystyrene plates for you to take away. Where does that end up? Some of it in the bins, but a lot of it also ends up.
And then sometimes the baboons in the Kruger Park are so trained by now that they know how to open those bins, and once they grip this piece of plastic or whatever it is, and it goes to that, it makes it difficult to actually regain it again and just get dispose it.
Correct. And, you know, if you think about, on average, we're producing 5 trillion plastic bags a year. That's 160,000 plastic bags a day.
That is a problem.
That is a huge problem. And then, you know, if we're not disposing of it correctly, I know that's not all in the Kruger National Park, but that's in our community too. And our communities are around the Kruger National Park. And once the baboon's taken it out or disposed of it in the veld, we may not necessarily be able to pick it up. It's going to end up in our rivers, ultimately into the ocean. We have a massive problem.
There was this discussion about the Kruger Park in the stores and all the shops that they have paper bags.
Yes.
But the paper bag's one good thing, but the sandwich is packed in a plastic container.
Or exactly.
When you buy a takeaway, a hamburger or French fries or a coffee, that's all polystyrene.
Correct. And that doesn't dispose.
That doesn't dispose.
Doesn't break down.
I wonder if there would be sometime in the future come where the national parks in South Africa, not only the Kruger Park, actually make these items out of recyclable material.
We like to hope so. We like, you know, I think it goes further than that. The people outside of the park, people making one-time plastics, we shouldn't have one-time plastics anymore. I mean, worldwide, we're using 1.2 million one-time plastics bottles a day. Now, where is that going to end up? Your plastic is never going to break down, ever. Mm. It will become microplastics, yes, but ultimately that...
And that takes years.
Never actually ever disappears. So ultimately, when it gets down to that tiny microplastics, your fish are ingesting it. It's seeping into the soil, so it's getting into our food sources. So ultimately, we are ingesting plastic.
And the thing is there really a short-term solution? I doubt that. But education, as you said. Tell us more about the whole litter awareness campaign. You said you're visiting schools. But is there other ways about this campaign that you go about? And besides the gates and information?
We are hoping in time to also put it. The only way we can do it is to educate the public. If we start with our youth, I must say this year after National Open Week, we had, I think it was 26 HRs at the different gates. We chat to them at the gates. We ask them please to bring their litter out the park. My husband and I did litter patrol after Open Week last year, and I think we collected something between Skukuza and Paul Kruger Gate. I could have just walked that entire place because there was that much litter. Mm-hmm. This year, it wasn't that bad. There's still a lot of bottles, and it's alcohol bottles. I don't know how we're going to combat that problem. But the litter within the park was less this year than last year. The litter outside the park, I'm sorry to say, was 100% worse. So they did listen to us. And they brought it all out, but then they just tossed it out the window once they got to the gates.
So it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing battle that you're fighting, and I think that the fight against littering starts at home.
Most definitely, it starts at home. You know, when I go to the different schools, and there's a couple of schools that I've gone to on 2 and 3 occasions, and I have found that if we talk to the youngsters, they tend to take a pride and get excited about picking up litter. I go back to schools, and the little ones come running up, and they say, we picked up this much litter yesterday and this much litter today. And they do go home, and they tell their parents. And hopefully...
It will spill over.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, teach an old dog new tricks, that saying. Are we ever going... But worldwide, it's a problem. So we really need to... Do our little bit. I mean, it's such a massive problem, and we say, well, how can me as one person make a difference? Now and again, I feel the same. But if we can just stop using plastic bags, boycott completely plastic bags, straws. Straws are a huge problem. Our government should step in and they should stop plastic bags and only, you know, we shouldn't have one-time plastics in juice bottles, water bottles. So it's a massive problem. All we can do as each and every one of us is do
just
our
try
little
a little bit harder.
Yeah, yeah.
En dis lekker, dis Jenny Robinson wat so gesels oor die strooi van rommel in die Krugerpark, veral plasties veral, en dit is 'n groot probleem. Jenny, thank you for sharing all this with us and taking time to come have a talk with us. And this is one of the battles that's going to go forever.
It is.
Unless there's a major change somewhere.
There is, but we have to look at it and we have to do something about it, because if we don't, what are we going to have? And I just want to leave everyone with this thought. What is worth fighting for? Our actions today will determine the future of our wildlife tomorrow. So let's all think about it. Let's do our little bit to try and...
A lot of little bits make one
big
difference.
Bit. Yeah. 100%.
Jenny, thank you. Thank you for
thank
your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dit is Jenny Robertson wat so gesels het oor rommelstrooi in die Krugerwildtuin. En ek weet, ons is nie skuldig nie, maar as jy miskien al 'n foutjie gemaak het en 'n oordeelsfout gemaak het, kom ons stel dit reg. Volgende keer, tel jy daai papier op wat jy sien rond lê.